Praise the Lord for that. Amen. The beauty of the blood. Well, I've enjoyed all the singing today. The special singing has been, both songs, especially a blessing to my heart. And I say it often and I mean it every time I say it. I sure am glad that God's people use the talent that God has given them to be a blessing to others. My heart has been blessed from the singing today. You have your Bible open to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And I have a thought that I want to share with you today. Some time ago on Wednesday night, on some Wednesday night services, I began to go through the Ten Commandments. And we got, I don't know, maybe three or four commandments in, and God just brought it to a halt and said, you know, not now. And so I do what God says, or at least I try to. I don't always, but I try to do what God says. And so I stop. And when I began a month or so ago to think about this span of time, from Mother's Day to Father's Day each year, God has laid on my heart to preach the family on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings. And God said, now's the time. And so on Sunday mornings, over the next at least 10 Sundays, I want to talk to you about the Ten Commandments. What do you know about the Ten Commandments? Do you know the Ten Commandments? Do you obey the Ten Commandments? Say, well, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. That's interesting. Do you teach your children the Ten Commandments? We're in a bad way. And I'm going to make this as positive as I know how. Not that I believe that positive is always the answer. I believe it takes positive and negative to bring power and results. I want to give you some weapons for your warfare. We're up against it, brethren. We're up against it. Satan has waged a full-scale attack with an antichrist spirit, an anti-God position, anti-church, anti-Christian. How are we going to fight this war? With picket signs? Capitol Hill? Arguing with fools on the street? I read somewhere where someone said, never argue with a fool on the street. The people walking by may mistake who the fool is. How are we going to wage this war? We have an adversary. And he is going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 that we're not ignorant of his devices. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And he has all of his weaponry pointed toward the home. Can I tell you that the Ten Commandments was not given for the business room, the boardroom, the classroom, not even the Sunday school room? I'm not saying that they shouldn't be displayed there. I'm not saying that it doesn't help when they are. I think that in our country alone, we could go back and see when the Ten Commandments were displayed in our classroom. Children had a lot more respect, a lot more manners, a lot more courtesy. Amen. A lot missing in our young folks today. But before we point to them and say, shame on you, we might ought to point to the ones who were responsible to train them and say, shame on us. Before we point to the government and say, why did you take the Ten Commandments out of our school, we need to ask ourselves the question, are the Ten Commandments in our home? It's always easy when we shift the blame. We get upset when people, when we see young people in particular say, well, it was my mom, it was my dad, it was my teacher, it was the policeman. We get upset when young people shift the blame and pass the buck, but if we're not careful, we'll do the same. They get it from us. We wonder why our young people are dying on the vine, why they come to church and sit with no enthusiasm, with no real desire to worship, as if God is not alive. But maybe what we need to do, instead of looking in their room, we need to look in our mirror. And say, maybe they're just mimicking mom and dad. Maybe dad has no compassion. Maybe not. Mom has no compassion. Maybe there's no passion or fervor or a burning zeal in our hearts to know what God says so we can do what God says. I don't have all the answers, but this book does. I found out a long time ago, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what some professor in a theological classroom or a classroom of theology thinks. What matters is what saith the Scripture. What does God say? So I want to help us today, and I really do want to be a help to you. God has challenged my heart, and I want to challenge your heart. Better yet, I want God to challenge your heart. So I want to get a setting today, and I hope this will be a help to you. I sincerely do. I had a lot of things. You know, I think sometimes when we think about the last days, I want you to write these scriptures down. When we think about Romans chapter 1, and listen, if you are just a casual reader of the Bible, you're very up to date. You're aware of the content of Romans chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We know what's coming. We know it's here. But I think if we're not careful, we'll read those passages of Scripture as, well, this is what goes on outside the church, when I'm not so sure that the author of both of those books, which was Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was not saying, no, this is what's going to be going on within your church. Because he said that it's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He's writing to a preacher in Timothy, and he's writing to a church in Romans. I just don't know that he's writing into those outside of that area. And so instead of looking and saying, you know, all those things are going to be going outside the church, we may ought to just really say, well, maybe they're going to be going in the church, and maybe that's the day we're living in. So what can we do? What can we do to stem the tide? What can we do to keep the faith? What can we do to keep our focus? Well, I believe there's a lot that we could do, and I don't have all the answers. There's some certainly much outside of what I think that God says that I'm not up to date on. I try to study my Bible. I read the Word of God. I've tried to be faithful, but I don't know all that the Bible teaches. I don't. But what I do know, I'm having a problem with. Not believing it. Doing it. I think sometimes we get to the place where we think, well, you know what? I know what the Bible says. Listen, that's just half of it. Are you doing what you know the Bible says? Because if you know what the Bible says, if I know what the Bible says and we're not doing it, and our children see that, our young people see that, brethren, I'm telling you, it's going to cause inoculation. It's going to inoculate them. They're going to get just enough of it to turn them away. I don't know if you've ever read the story of Karl Marx, but if you haven't, I encourage you. The father of communism, the man who wrote the Communistic Manifesto, read his story in church with his parents. But because they were phonies, he wrote in the Communistic Manifesto that religion is an opiate to the people. We're not here to check a box. We're not here to go through a fundamental form. We're not here to play church. This is reality. We're in a warfare. I hear folks say, well, I'll tell you right now, with this present administration, we're liable to end up in war. What do you mean end up in war? We're in war. We're Christians. We're in war. We have an enemy, and he has weapons, and he's coming after us. And if we don't fight, we're going to die on the battlefield. If I'm going to die on the battlefield, I want to die fighting. Amen. Amen. So what are we going to do? Well, let's look at this. I want to show you what God's, first of all, what God's desire for every one of us as Christians are. I want you to notice, I had Pastor Brandon to read in your hearing these Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments were originally stated back in Exodus when the children of Israel, you know the story, how they came out of Egypt, and God led them to the promised land. Of course, he gave in route there. They stopped there by Sinai, and he called Moses to the mount, gave the Decalogue, the law, the Ten Commandments. We know the story of the Ten Commandments. They are restated in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy means the restating of the law. That's what Deuteronomy means. That's what the actual word means. And so there's the restating and the re-giving of the law. This is what God gave the Ten Commandments for. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. He gave these commandments because he said, you're getting ready. And I want you to listen to why God gave these and put yourself in today's environment. He says, you're getting ready to go into a land full of Canaanites, of idol worshipers, of pagan people. And if you do not preserve your family, you're going down. See, God is pro-family. Amen. And he said, if you do not preserve your family, you're going down over there. Those Canaanites worship false gods. They worship false idols. He says, so I want to give you some principles, some guidelines, some statutes, some judgments, some commandments to live by when you get in the land. For two reasons. Number one, that you might preserve the family. Number two, that they might know that the Lord your God is God. And he said, if you'll do this, it'll be well with you. Now, there's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice, whether you're in here or you're on. Listen, whether you're watching by live stream, that would not say, you know what, I want it to be well with me, and I want it to be well with my children, and you know, that's what we all want. Now, we all, though we want that, we may have different ideas of how we're going to get that. But the Bible has, listen, the Bible's very clear on how you can have it. So the question is not how you can have it. The question is, are we willing to obey what the Bible says that we need to do in order to get it? Let's see what God says here. So God has given the Ten Commandments. And then God says this. Notice, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, look at verse number 29. This is a tremendous verse of Scripture. He said this in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. God said, oh, that there were such a heart in them. God said, oh, I just wish that these people had the heart in them. That they're saying they're going to do it. I know their heart. He said, I just wish that there was a heart in them that they would fear me. Now, that word doesn't mean to be afraid of in a way to where you're afraid that God is going to smash you or crush you. It means reverence, and we're going to come back to that word. That they would reverence me, that they would realize who I am, and that I only have their best interests in mind. He said, oh, that they had in them such a heart that they would fear me. Now watch this in verse 29. And keep all my commandments always. Why? That it might be well with them and with their children. Look at it. Forever! With an exclamation mark. God said, I want it to be good for you. I haven't given these Ten Commandments to restrict your life in a way that's going to make your life miserable, to take fun activity or recreation or expansion or exploring. I haven't given these commandments to take all that from you. I've set them up as guardrails to protect you, as invitations to invite you to enjoy the fullness of the life that I have given you. And yet, because the world doesn't understand God, they say, we want those commandments out of here because these are not good for us. I'm going to read you something that James Madison, known as the father of the American Constitution. See, brethren, our forefathers understood something. That the Constitution of the United States was not written for a people of anarchy. It was not written for a people of disobedience. It was not written for a people that was not willing to follow the guidelines of the Scripture. They understood this. This is what James Madison said, known as the father of the American Constitution. Now, I'm not going to quote you what some Bible-pounding, pulpit-pounding preacher said, though I will agree with what James Madison said. So this is not a preacher who said this. This is the founder, known as the father of the Constitution. He said this. He said, the future of American civilization was staked not upon the power of government. I want to restate that. Now, he didn't, but I don't think he would mind me restating it. It's not in government. It's not in government. It's not staked in the power of government, but upon the ability of Americans to govern and control themselves according to the Ten Commandments. Amen. That's why our forefathers say we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, with emphasis on created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. This same government says, we don't want you teaching that there's a Creator. We want you teaching that we come from some muckety-muck, some soup, some ape. And then we scratch our heads and say, where are we going to put all these animals? What's wrong with our young people? There's over 60,000 juvenile delinquents in children's prisons in America. I did not know this past week. The CDC now, for some years now, I was unaware of it, has announced that May is Teen Pregnancy Prevention Month. I had no idea. So I read the article and it says, at the end of it, related article, 10 ways to prevent pregnancy in teens. I laughed out loud. I got one that works every time.
Amen.
But because you don't want the Ten Commandments in the boardrooms, in the staterooms, in the classrooms, I'm not saying that God gave them for that, but they sure would do some help if we put them back there. But before we get too upset of our government, we need to kind of check our own home. And he said this, he said, you know, oh, that they would. He said, I just want to be good for you and your children. Listen, if we could get this, if folks could get this, look at it one more time, the last part of verse number 29. He said that it might be well with thee. God just wants what's good for you. Young folk, look up here at your preacher. Don't think I'm mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I care about you. God wants what's good for you. Don't you let anybody tell you any different.
Amen.
Don't you let anybody tell you any different. God has a good plan for your life. God wants what's best for you.
Amen.
And not only that, he wants what's best for your family. And not just for now. Look what he said. Forever. Forever. So what are we going to do, preacher? We'll give you three quick thoughts here. We'll pick up here next week, but I want you to listen to me now. We're going to go through these Ten Commandments. I want you to be able to quote them. I want you to be able to live them. I want you to be able to teach them to your children. By the way, God said, this is why I gave you these Ten Commandments. Look at it. Look if you would now. Look in verse number 3. Chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. That land you're going to, if you'll keep these commandments that I gave you, it's going to be well with you. Now there's a flip side of that. Every positive, there's a negative. Guess what's going to happen if you don't keep them? It's not going to go well for you. And we've seen it go both ways for them, didn't we? And can I tell you, we've seen it go both ways in this country too. I want to give you some things that I hope will challenge you, and not only challenge you, but would encourage you and I. Let's start teaching our children and our grandchildren the Ten Commandments. Do your children know the Ten Commandments? Hey, have you ever sit down with them and gone over it with them? You say, well, I send them to Sunday school. Well, let's just see what the Bible says about it, okay? The first thing I want you to notice with me is that God said that there needs to be one relationship that you need to be real concerned about. Let's look at it, okay? This is the great revelation. Notice, if you would, and let's go to chapter 6 just for a moment. Are you there? Now, chapter 6, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whithersoever you go to possess it. He said, I'm giving you these commandments, these 10 commandments, because I want you to do them. I want you to observe them when you're among a pagan people that do not honor me. Amen. And then he said in verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. I want you to write this word down. We're talking about revelation. This is the revelation. He said, the revelation, it's one Lord. We're going to see this in just a moment. If you go down to verse number 4, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You go into a place where there's many gods over there in Canaan. Yeah. You've got one God. America used to have one God. America no longer has one God. America used to be a Christian nation. We may as well face up to it. America's no longer a Christian nation. I know that's hard to say. You're looking at somebody that bleeds red, white, and blue. Listen to me. But I'm a realist. And I've got to understand that the days of people accepting there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ in this country, the days of that are no longer. We have turned from God. We have turned from the Bible. We have turned from biblical principles. We have turned from what saith the Scripture. We no longer want anything to do with this God or His Word or His people or His house. Our churches have turned into entertainment centers, performances and not worship, lectures and not preaching. Brethren, there was a day when men stood up, mounted the pulpit, and thundered out what saith the Lord. Now we're pandling religion. I don't want you to take this statement wrong. It's not your pastor's place to fill this auditorium. It's your pastor's place to fill this pulpit. Amen. And to preach this book right here. Amen. Now I want to see this place filled and double the size and fill it again. But if preaching the word doesn't do it, I don't want what it's going to attract. If we have to water this book down, bring a rock and roll band in here, and do the boogie-oogie all night long to get them in here, brother, I say we don't get them in here. If we have to change this book and change the way that God said it, we'll do without it. As long as I'm the pastor of this church. And I believe I've got a group of people out here that would say, amen, preacher, preach the word to us. Preach the word to us. But I want to tell you that there's not every congregation that will stand behind their pastor the way you do. Not everyone wants to hear what saith the Scripture. They want their ears tickled. They don't want to hear these Ten Commandments. They don't want to hear a preacher stand up and thunder against adultery and thievery and murder and abortion, which is murder. See, they don't want to hear that. They're soft. They're woke. I say it's time for the woke to be awakened. It's high time that we wake up, brethren. Realize what fight we're in. This is real. Say, preacher, I got little ones coming up. What am I going to do? I'm going to give you some ammunition right here. Don't miss it now. Don't you miss it. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to teach them the Ten Commandments. Because that's what the Bible says you ought to do. Now, I know this is written to Israel. I understand that. Verse number 4 makes it very clear. Look at it again. Hear, O Israel. I understand that. But I also know that Paul said these things were written for our examples. And these things were written for our admonition. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Write this down. One revelation, one Lord. We're going to talk about that. That's the first commandment. Not this week. Just laying a foundation here. One God, brethren. One God. There's not many gods. There's one. One God. If you'll notice what Moses does here in verse number 4, he says in verse number 4, the Lord our God is one. He didn't say God, he said Lord. That word Lord capitalized is Yahweh. Listen, it's Jehovah. It is a God that gets personal. We'll talk about that when we get to the first commandment, but I want you to tuck that away in your mind. God Elohim is the creator God. But God Jehovah is a God who is a covenant-keeping God who wants to get personal with you because he wants to know you and he wants you to know him. Because that makes all the difference in this life in which we live here on this earth. And so there's one revelation. God has given his word, and that word is there's one Lord. And you need to teach that to your children. Why? Let's see what the Bible says. Stay with me now. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. Well, let me go to this so you'll understand the importance of teaching it to your children. Look, if you would, in verse number 6 of chapter 6. And these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. You see, that's where it starts, Mom. Mom, listen to me now. You're a special person. On this Mother's Day, you need to have those Ten Commandments in your heart. You'll never be able to convincingly teach what you don't believe. Dad, listen to me now. As a leader of your home, you need to have it in your heart. But notice what he said in verse number 7. Why do I need to have it in my heart, preacher? That thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That's why. And he goes on to say later, unto thy children's children. Teach it to your children and grandchildren. Can I tell you, we talk a lot about homeschool, but God wants every school to be a law school. Yeah, God wants you teaching the law. Amen. He said, you teach them. You teach them. You teach them my commandments. Why? There's three things that teaching your children God's commandments will do for you and for your children. Don't miss this. And see if you see that these are missing in our society today. Because we're not teaching the commandments. Follow it closely. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. The first reason we should teach the commandments is that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. I want you to write this word down, reverence. We've lost our reverence. Folks come to the house of God, they don't keep their foot when they come to the house of God. It's not just the young people, it's the adults. We've lost our reverence. The word reverence, and I looked it up, it means appreciation. Do you find many people that are appreciative these days? It means thankfulness. Do you see too many people that are thankful these days? From the word reverence means to look up to esteem highly, to honor. There's very little of that in our society today among our young people. You know why? We're not teaching it. You teach your children the Ten Commandments, you gain these virtues, reverence. Reverence is missing in our society today. There was a day when young people reverenced elderly people. Now they defy them. They rebel and not reverence against them. It's not all their fault. You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. Yeah, it is. Well, hold on now. Hold on. Who's the teacher and who's the student here? Number 2, not only is there reverence, I want you to write this word down, righteousness. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. He said not only that they might fear the Lord, but they should keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Thou and thy son's son. You teach your children to keep the commandments. What's that? Righteousness. Did you write that word down? That righteousness means doing right. Teach them to talk right. Don't you let your children talk back to you. Teach them to talk clean. Don't you let them use that foul language in your presence. Teach them not only how to talk, teach them how to act. Amen. Do the right thing. Have reverence for your elders. Amen. Where is that going in our society? We got young people robbing elderly people when they used to reverence them. Why? I don't know. You take a guess. I'm telling you, for me as a parent and a grandparent, if we will do this, God said, it'll be well with you. You will instill reverence
It's not too late, Mom. Dad, listen to your preacher. It's not too late. You say, I failed, preacher. I'm not halfway through.
Well, don't get too excited. I'm halfway through in this message, but listen to me. There's more to come. You don't have to say, I failed, and so I can't. No, I'm glad that God is the God of not just a second chance, but the third. God is the God of another chance. God will help you get this right in your life. Amen. If you will use what he has given. Amen. I'll give you a final one here on this one, and that is this. Did you write the word reverence down? Is it missing in our society today? Help me out, folks. Is it missing in our society today? Reverence. Is righteousness missing in our society today? Man, we've got rioting and crime and violence. There's young people, listen, 10, 12, on drinking and smoking dope and popping pills and snorting coke. Killing kids. Kids killing kids. That's not righteousness. That's evil. That's wickedness. What can I do, preacher? We can't change everyone, but let's change who we can.
Amen.
Let's start in our home, amen. God help me. God help you. God help us. We can make a difference. Teach them to reverence, to fear the Lord. Teach them righteousness, to keep those commandments. And then teach them respect. Can I tell you that the Ten Commandments are, every one of them can be fulfilled with respect. You ready? See, when God gave these Ten Commandments, in essence, that's what he's saying. He's saying, be a respectful person. Listen carefully now before you write me off. Commandment number one, respect God as the only one true and living God. Commandment number two, respect the way you worship God. And don't you try to do that with any graven image or idol. You worship God in spirit and in truth. Respect him in your worship. Commandment number three, you respect his name. Don't you take his name in vain. Amen. Commandment number four, you respect his day. This is the Lord's day. Listen, moms, I'm thankful for you, but this really is Mother's Day. It's just a tag on. This is the Lord's day. If that offends you, you've got your priorities out of line. I'll say the same Father's Day. We celebrate Mother's Day. I'm not saying stop. I thank God for it. But this is the Lord's Day. This is not race day.
Right.
Where they're racing in wherever. This is not football day. This is not family day. This is the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Boy, the old timers used to call it the Lord's Day. Now it's just tagged on to a weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's that weekend. It's this weekend. It's Sunday. No, this is the Lord's Day. Respect it. Commandment number five, respect your parents. Honor them, right? Show respect to them by obeying them. Commandment number six, respect life. Don't kill. Respect life. God's the giver of life. Respect it. Commandment number seven, respect marriage. Don't you commit adultery. You respect the institution of marriage, one man and one woman. Amen. Commandment number eight. You are to respect, let's see, commandment number eight is you respect other people's property. Don't you be stealing what other people have. Matter of fact, respect yourself. Don't be a thief. Right? The commandments are about reverence. They're about righteousness. They're about respect. Teach your children to respect. Commandment number nine, you respect other people's character. Don't you be lying on people. Don't you bear false witness against your neighbor. Respect them. And again, respect yourself. Nobody has respect for a liar. And then commandment number 10, respect other people's property. Don't you be coveting. You be thankful for what you have instead of being unthankful because you don't have and you won't. You respect what God's given you, and you respect what God's given your neighbor, and don't you be coveting for it. The commandments are about respect. I want to close with this today. We have one revelation How am I to respond to this revelation? What can I do? What can you do? What can we do? Well, first of all, begin to teach your children. Next week, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to give you ways from the Bible. It's right here. Listen, here's what he said to do. Look at it in verse number 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently. That's consistently. How many of you here are parents? Raise your hand. You say, I'm a parent. I want you to just keep your hand up. Okay, that's a good number. That's three-fourths of the congregation. The rest of you, well, you're the other end of that. Amen. You are a result of a parent. If there's anybody in here that could raise their hand and say, Preacher, I told my sons and daughter, I told them one time to say thank you, they got it. Never had to tell them again. You know better. That's what that word diligently means. Teach them to your children diligently. Over and over and over. I done told them there were 10 commandments, Preacher. Tell them again. I done told them what God said. Keep telling them. It'll click. Amen? Amen? That's what God's saying. And he goes through and through, and he's saying, this is what you need to do. And we'll get to this next week. I want to close with this. Don't miss this. Look at what he said in verse number 5, and I'll close with this. So number one, we have one revelation. That is one Lord. Now we're going to have one response, one love. Who do you love? Maybe what do you love? You don't have to tell me. If you'll show me your checkbook and your date book, I'll tell you. You say, that's meddling. I know. We can say what we love or who we love, but where and what we spend our time doing and what we spend and where we spend our money is really what we love. Time and money is where your heart is. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's not some newfound thing your preacher came up with over the weekend. Do you love God? Do you? And if you do, how do you love him? Let's look at it. Thou shalt love, verse 5, the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Do you love him? With all of your heart. Well, that word all is a tough one, isn't it? Isn't it, folks? That's a tough one. You love him with all of your heart? This word means with sincerity. I looked it up. Do you love him with all your heart? Do you love him with a sincere love, with a burning, passionate, I'm all in, preacher. I'm all in with God. I'm not halfway in. I'm not take it or leave it. I'm all in with this thing. Your children are going to see it when you are, but they're going to see it when you're not too. They know. Well, I tell you, children can I don't know, God has given this to the innocency of a child. They can spot a phony quicker than an adult. And they know when dad doesn't love God the way he pretends. Now, my children know that dad's not perfect. But they know dad's not a phony. I love God. I don't say that boasting. Listen, I'm ashamed that I don't love him more than I do. And God knows my heart. But I love him. I love him. And I don't want my children to see a phony. Somebody just checking boxes and going through the motions and saying one thing and then doing another. I don't want my children to see that. And you don't want yours to see it either. I don't want my grandchildren to think granddad, papa, is just going through the motions. I don't want my children to see that, brethren. And you don't want yours to see it either, your grandchildren. So let's love God with all of our heart. How can we do that, preacher? We'll talk about it next week. Number two. With all of thy soul. What's that mean? You know what your soul is? That's who you are. Go home today and look in the mirror. That person on the other side is not your soul. It's the person that's talking to you when you look in the mirror. That's your soul. Your soul is yourself. What's the scripture saying here? When you love God with all your soul, you love him with everything you are. You love him with all of your intellect. You love him with all of your emotion. You love him with all your physical ability, you love God with all that you are. That's what the scripture says. So I'm going to teach those commandments. I'm going to get the chalkboard out and we're going to teach them. Well, make sure you love God right now. So it won't be just a lesson. It'll stick when you love God. Amen, brethren?
Amen.
It'll stick. And then finally, with all thy might, with all thy might, with everything that's in you, love Him. With all that God has given you, with all that you are, with all that you have, love God with it. Love God with all that you are, with all that you have. Teach your children the Ten Commandments. We're going to go through these Ten Commandments over the next Sundays, mornings. Tonight I'll be preaching on the home. I hope you'll come back. I want to help our families. I want to help our homes. I just want to help you. We're in trouble. What are we going to do? I'm glad God has the answers. God has the answers. And He'll help us if we'll allow Him to. Let's stand to our feet. Well, if you would, please stand. And I'm going to ask the pianist to come. Brother Benny Short brought me something a while back. These Ten Commandments. And the more I familiarize myself with these, the more I love them. I thank God for these. I thank God for these commandments. Did you know that Jesus said that all the law and the prophets hang on these commandments? These are broken into two. The first four is to love God. The second is to love thy neighbor. That's what it is. Love God, you love your neighbor. All the law and the prophets hang on that. Jesus said that there's two great commandments, brethren. Here it is. This right here changed your life. Now, if you're not saved, this is not going to save you. This will just let you know that you need to be.
Right.
But if you are saved, this will make a difference in your home now. You teach your children the Ten Commandments. Teach them. But before you do, make sure they're in your heart. You'll never be able to do it convincingly if they're not in your heart. Let's bow our heads together.